Dixieland. Glory, glory. Hallelujah.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the show. So it'll come, as we said, Dick Brubaker in about an hour, and then in the 11 o'clock hour, April Morey Fogle, my colleague at 1819 News. Joining us now, she is a candidate for Secretary of State. Always a pleasure to bring on our good friend, Carolee Dobson, on the line. Carolee, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great, Jeff. How about you?
Doing well. You and I are trying to talk about the Christmas rush to the very end and having little ones, and that's, you know, it is what it is, but it's that time of year again.
No, that's right. That's right. And I'm so grateful that we live in a state where we haven't forgotten the reason for Christmas. And so I'm so grateful and having friends that live in other places, hearing them talk about, trying to, seek out Christ-centered activities. And again, it's something I feel like we take for granted here in Alabama, that there are so many live nativities. Our church in Montgomery Trinity Presbyterian has so many programs. And anyway, we're really blessed to live in a place that I think we can all lose focus, of course, in the rush and hustle and bustle. But I'm so grateful. And that's one of the reasons I'm proud to be raising my girls in Alabama, is because I think we here as a people do understand, that Christmas is, of course, about the birth of Christ and keeping Jesus at the focus of that. So, but that's kind of need a constant reminder on that, especially when time's ticking and we're a week away and their presents to be wrapped and, gifts to be distributed and that sort of thing. So, but it's a fun season for sure.
I hear you. Yeah. Jesus is the reason for the season, as they say. We'll start here. Tell us, how's the campaign going?
Campaign is going well. It is slowed down a little bit on the campaign side, but I'm grateful for that again to have this time with my family. But we're finishing the year strong. Very grateful for just the sheer number of voters here in Alabama that have taken the time to listen to our message of trust, of building trust in our elections, building trust in our economy, and to also share their experiences. I mean, I'm so grateful to have met with a lot of registrars, a lot of folks in probate judges' office, a lot of poll workers and poll watchers here. Their experiences about where we can continue to try to make our elections more secure, to work on our voter roll, to criminalize absentee ballot harvesting. I've met with some individuals that are trying to push for post-election audits, which we desperately need in this state. So I'm just grateful for the time that the people in this state have invested in me to talk with me. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to, more than anything, just listen and intend to hit the ground running to do that again come January 4th.
So we had your opponent on yesterday, but I mean, what it appears is that we really are having a hard time shaking this absentee ballot problem, even with enhanced penalties and the sort of a mandate that local prosecutors enforce the election laws. We're still, maybe it's a lack of education. People, in certain places in the state, well, this is just how we always do things. We harvest absentee ballots or whatever, but it's, and that's crazy to think, but I mean, I guess it happens, but, and it's, some of these places, it's not a big number because you don't have a big, big centers of population in a lot of places in the Black Belt, but we're still grappling with this absentee ballot issue.
Yes, no, and as a product of a town of less than 200 on the very edge, I guess I don't know if Monroe County officially qualifies as the Black Belt. I think we're more of the Piney Woods region, but just south of, my mom worked in Wilcox County for 20 years, and it still goes on. There is a cottage industry of absentee ballot harvesting, and that is what I'm passionate about cracking down on. And it's a lot of the absentee ballot harvesting that takes place is in the primary part of the election. So some of these counties are blue counties. And so this is, you know, Democrats versus Democrats. Sometimes it's in municipal elections that are nonpartisan. And I, you know, whether it's a Democrat primary election, a Republican primary election, a general election, an election for city council in Uniontown, Alabama, the people of this state deserve to trust their elections. And so that's why it is so vital. And I've called on the Alabama legislature to create an election integrity division within the office of Secretary of State, a branch of the office of dedicated election experts who wake up every morning, cybersecurity experts, election law officials who wake up every morning tasked with, enforcing the laws that we have and also helping investigate claims of election fraud. We have some of the finest law enforcement there is in this state, but, often they're in triage mode. They don't have enough resources as it is, and they're dealing with domestic violence. They're dealing with human trafficking, drugs, you name it. And so if they get, a call about election fraud, they don't have the manpower, bandwidth, maybe not the expertise to deal with it. And then I think also the reality is in some of these counties, it very well may be that there are conflicts of interest. They're small counties of less than, I'm from a county of less than 20,000 people. There are a number of counties that have histories of absentee ballot harvesting that are, that size or even smaller. So you think about, a sheriff who's being asked to investigate somebody that he might be related to that's engaging in absentee ballot harvesting. That's why it's so vital that we have a centralized investigative arm of the Secretary of State's office that has the expertise. They have the impartiality to actually investigate these claims. And again, there's no election that's too small or unimportant, because and I know that a local school board member, that directly impacts what the children of that county are learning and the quality of their education. I mean, Wilcox County is an example. They've got the third highest budget for the state when it comes to public education. They've got about $14,000 per kid. However, despite having only 1,200 kids in their entire county public school system, their school board employs over 90 non-teaching full-time administrative employees. Just think about that. That money is going to administration instead of to kids or to teachers. And so that's what I want to eradicate is this corruption in local elections that results in, squandering of our state and county resources, and also results in not providing our young people with the opportunities they deserve. So it all stems down to having integrity in our elections, because when you have integrity elections, then the people who are actually elected recognize that they are accountable to the people who put them in office.
Isn't it just, in some places of the state, Wilcox County is a great example that they look at the public school system as a jobs program, and a lot of places, I mean, that's the best paying job, right?
Yeah, it's the second largest employer in Wilcox County after International Paper. And the sad thing is, International Paper can't really employ that many graduating seniors because they're not ready. Their quality of their education is abysmal, despite the fact that the money is there. The school board is just using it to employ their friends instead of educate their children. And so, anyway, it's as a product of rural Alabama, I'm very passionate about ensuring that we have election integrity, of course, in our cities, of course, on our, in our federal elections and our statewide elections, but also in these small elections. I was recently, over in West Alabama, there's a chapter, Republican Women of the Black Belt, that has started. And I was speaking in a gas station to about 11 women, somewhere I'd driven, 4 hours round trip. But it was so meaningful because there was a woman there, who had run for mayor of Uniontown, and, she went into a runoff, with her opponent, and, he prevailed in the runoff with more absentee votes than live votes. So she, of course, felt that an injustice had been done. That's just an example of that, you know, just a couple months ago. So we still have a lot to do when it comes down on to cracking down on absentee ballot harvesting. And also when it comes to our voter roll maintenance, of course, ensuring that we do not allow any illegal aliens to ever cast a ballot in any election in Alabama, that we remove deceased voters promptly. But also, you know, when it comes to ensuring that the people voting are voting where they actually live. I want to work with our legislature to close some of those loopholes when it comes to registration, meaning that those registering to vote have to provide more and better proof of identity, citizenship, and then residency.
Well, the problem, we talk about absentee ballot harvesting, it's like, you know, you're talking about Beatrice and, you know, these small places where you have a turnout of 200 people, 300 people, mm-hmm. and 120.
If you're lucky, yeah.
120 of those ballots are absentee, and it's the local DA, the prosecutor, is like, I'm not, you know, this is the way we do it here, and we're not going to pursue this. And then the attorney general could, I guess, step in, but that's still mm-hmm. not a big enough vote ballot total to warrant in their mind any sort of action. And when they do try, they run into all the hurdles, and they get, you know, the attorney general's office is called racist or whatever it may be. And at some point they're just like, it's not worth the lift.
Yes. No. And that's why, again, having this branch within the office of Secretary of State that, I'm more than happy to be bad cop, and but to have this impartial investigative branch that can do the dirty work to ensure that we have clean elections, and that's what we so desperately need, because we can't have Alabama develop like a checkerboard where people flock to the counties where there is election integrity, where there's good leadership, where there's accountability and trust, and then, you know, the county next door that has, you know, as much or better natural resources that could be developed, that could be utilized, is just kind of left to fall apart because no one trusts their elections there. And that's, you know, that's kind of what you see. I mean, you see Lee County doing great, growing leadership. I think there have been some election integrity questions there and some issues with voter access with respect to, you know, some growth there in precincts, not being able to handle the number of voters reporting to those precincts. But, you know, but by and large, accountable government and trust in the government. And then next door, you've got Macon County, where in my race last year, we had an attorney, you know, volunteering to oversee the absentee ballot count. And he flagged 43 absentee ballots that were either, you know, outright fraudulent or incurable, incomplete, that were going to be passed through if he had not stepped in and, you know, and said, wait, this, you know, this one's not signed, or this one does not meet the requirements. And so, in my race, I didn't, sure, my figures beat me by more than 43 votes, but 43 votes could absolutely have made a difference in a county commission seat race or a school board race or some other local office, again, that is just as important to the daily lives and the opportunities available to the citizens of Macon County as a member of the U.S. House is. And so, again, that's why it's so, so vitally important that we have a centralized office who is committed to enforcing the good laws that we already have on the books.
Well, I tell you what else it is, and you mentioned Uniontown, and there's a lot of people who live in that part of the state throughout the Black Belt who know the election process there is a joke. Mm-hmm. They know it's, you know, that they don't bother to participate because they believe that in the end, the vote doesn't really count at all. It's not it's not a fair and sacred election. Now, that's the perception. The reality, maybe it's something in between. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But that to me, if you don't have the confidence in your local elections, then you're going, it's going to impact outcomes in other ways beyond just who actually does show up to vote.
Oh, absolutely. You're disengaged. You don't want to participate. There's no trust in any elected, you know, quote unquote, elected officials, because you don't have trust in the system. So even those that, you know, and then therefore you're not a part of the selection process because you don't think that it's worth participating. And there's just such a sense of resignation, and you find that in a lot of counties throughout the state. Counties, again, that could be, you know, real powerhouses when it comes to, you know, whether it's manufacturing or you know, some of the kind of agritourism opportunities that we see. I mean, I think one example is Bullitt County, you know, right beside Montgomery. Beautiful county, tremendous resources. There was a study done, and it's actually 5 years old, so it's probably, there's even more disparity now, but the economic impact of creating one job in Bullitt County was the same as creating 27 jobs in Montgomery, just next door. I mean, it is so economically depressed, but that, I mean, that's a perfect example of where a lot of, you know, residents of lifelong residents of Bullitt County, and they love where they're from, but they don't feel any trust in the system, and so therefore they don't participate, and they drive their kids to Montgomery for school, and you know, kind of figure out how to maintain an existence, but there's such a sense of resignation, and I want to restore trust in our elections throughout this state so that at least people, even if the political demographics are, you know, even if you're still in a blue county, you can have trust that the people being elected actually received the votes from living resident U.S. citizens that actually took the time to cast the ballot in that election.
Carolyn, we got to leave it there, but folks want to find out more about your campaign. Where can they look?
Yes. No, please check out our website, DobsonForAlabama.com. You can request a yard sign, kind of see upcoming events, and volunteer with the campaign. We would love your participation if you're interested. And then also, we're on social media, DobsonForAL.
Carolyn Dobson, ladies and gentlemen. Carolyn, thanks again. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
This time new.